Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and you're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will have some difficult choices to make as it begins wading through its budget tonight. Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley says the city is at a defining moment in its history and predicting layoffs for the first time ever. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The budget calls for $1.2 million in reductions for next year. That list includes two layoffs, the Parks and Recreation Manager and a Customer Service Representative. Parks and Rec is also losing funding for temporary summertime groundskeepers, known as grasshoppers. The police department will see funding eliminated for two unfilled positions, a lieutenant and an officer. The cuts would come 3 years after the elimination of a dispatcher and an officer in the 2010 budget. Other cuts include contract snow removal with the school district, park and trail equipment, and an unfilled human resources assistance job. In addition to outright cuts, the city also has some reductions planned. Under this proposed budget, the library will be open less, and the city will cut back on support to nonprofit organizations, support to the Sitka Historical Society, street paving, legal expenses, medical supplies used by EMS to treat patients in the field, and more. The budget also means no raises for city employees for the fourth year in a row. At the same time, the budget leaves untouched any of the city's reserve accounts. Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley says the city does not budget for emergencies, and the unrestricted fund balances, as they're called, are designed to cover those. The fund has enough right now to run the entire city for nearly 3 months. In his letter to the Assembly, Dinley blames the problems in part on the rising costs of keeping up an aging infrastructure coupled with shrinking revenues. The Assembly has three sessions to work on the budget beginning tonight at 6 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Tonight's session will concentrate on a general overview of the process and work on the general fund. Future sessions will address the city's enterprise funds. Those are separate pools of money for things like utilities, the harbors, the airport. And after that, two more meetings to deal with the final budget ordinance, which has to be approved by the end of June. A public review copy of the budget is available at Kettleson Memorial Library. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
Southeast Alaska's largest tribal organization is pushing for changes in sea otter management. It was one of the issues before last week's Tlingit Haida Central Council Tribal Assembly. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
Delegates from around the region took up about 60 resolutions during the meeting, some directing the council's work in the upcoming year. One that passed addressed the exponential growth of sea otter populations. Otters eat mostly clams, but they can also devastate crab and other marine life that's a part of the traditional diet. Council President Ed Thomas says that's hurting commercial operations, too.
They seem to be raising havoc around many of our communities, and not just for subsistence, but also commercial, you know, the divers go after sea cucumber and sea urchins or whatever.
Alaska natives are allowed to hunt otters and give or sell them to other natives. Proposed federal legislation would allow whole pelts to be sold to non-natives. Thomas says the council wants tribal hunters to help slow otter population growth, but it's concerned expanded pelt sales could create competition with the existing handicraft market.
We don't want to export anything that will undermine the local utilization, but where there is potential for surplus, we would like to still try to get some of those exported in the raw. And to set up a system whereby they would not be able to bring those back competing with local artisans.
He says the council is already working on a co-management plan with federal officials. Council delegates from around Southeast also elected officers at the 77th Annual Tribal Assembly. Thomas outpolled former Sea Alaska CEO Bob Loescher and a third candidate to retain the president's seat. He's run the organization for most of the past 30 years. Six incumbent vice presidents were also reelected. Thomas says it's the first time the full executive council has gone unchanged. Funding prospects are always a major topic at the Tribal Assembly. Thomas says they're not looking good.
It's really very difficult to get into a growth scenario when we have cutbacks. And I think there might be some opportunity in energy programs, for example, but, boy, everything else is under fire.
Thomas expects federal funding reductions that could lead to staff and program cuts. The council employs about 250 people, most in Juneau. Last year's budget was about $24 million, down from a high of $28 million a few years ago. The council provides job training, financial assistance, family and senior service programs. It also runs a tribal court. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The Forest Service has tentatively approved a major timber harvest plan for Cooperdoff Island near Petersburg. The Tonka project would allow a substantial amount of logging in an area of the Tongass Forest that's seen a lot of that in the past. The agency emphasizes economic benefits from the sale, but opponents say the cost is too high. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Forest Coal's decision calls for the sale of 38.5 million board feet of timber from nearly 2,100 acres of land. That's a big project, more than the average annual cut from the entire Tongass in recent years. Considering the many issues involved, Petersburg District Ranger Jason Anderson says the plan provides the greatest opportunity for an economically viable timber sale. The agency projects that the project will support 154 to 183 jobs. According to Anderson, that estimate includes all the harvest, milling, and support sectors that might benefit.
From start to finish, you're basically your mobilization of the equipment out there, your harvesters, your cutters who are actually going to go out and fell the timber, your loggers who are going to bring it down to a landing and onto a truck, the truckers themselves who then drive it to point from point A to point B, the various transportation services that would get it across the water into Petersburg or further south if that's where it's headed, or overseas if that's where portions of it head. All of those jobs are part of that 183 annualized jobs, which again is just a range, and much would depend upon the size of the package that's offered and the various types of logging systems used and or transportation systems used at the time of an actual sale.
The project would require building just over 9 miles of new road to reach all the timber units, but the agency had to stay out of federally protected roadless areas, and some timber will have to be moved by helicopter. The plan calls for clear-cut logging on about half the acreage. Loggers would leave 66% of the trees standing in the other half. Anderson thinks the timber will likely be offered in a large sale, possibly with some harvest units left behind. There are a number of small timber businesses around the region, but the only two larger operators that remain in Southeast are the Viking Lumber Mill in Klawock and Alcan Forest Products, a timber harvest and export company in Ketchikan. Whether Tonka is worthwhile for potential bidders will depend on how the various harvest units are packaged together, according to Wrangell's George Woodbury. He's a board member of the timber group Alaska Forest Association. According to Woodbury, Tonka is not only important for bigger companies, but for the small operators as well.
It opens up areas where there's road where they can get roadside sales. Most of them can't afford to build road. And not only that, but the larger operations bring in infrastructure like towing companies and actually people that buy the products from the medium-sized mills. When that attracts them into Southeast Alaska and gives the opportunity for the small guys that just have little bits to sell access to people that could buy their products.
The project is just across the Wrangell Narrows from Petersburg on Kuprinoff Island's Lindenberg Peninsula, one of the most accessible and important areas for local deer hunters. The sale area has already been extensively roaded and logged over the years. The loss of more habitat for deer and other wildlife is one of the major factors the agency has to consider in planning a timber sale. Ranger Anderson acknowledges there's a lot of public concern over the issue. He points out the agency's timber program is now constrained to the existing road base, areas that are also key for nearby subsistence and recreation users.
And that's going to create conflict, you know, and I think it's unavoidable at this point in time with the politics that affect our land management decision making. And yet if you look at the scale of the Tongass, if you look at the past practices on the Tongass, you know, we're harvesting at roughly 10% of what we used to just 20 years ago, and I think we're still producing some of the most impressive fish runs in all of the Northwest. All in all, I feel pretty good about the management of the Tongass National Forest. I hope folks can come around and see that there's a whole lot of national forest out there, and it can provide a whole lot for a range of interests.
It's extremely reckless for the Forest Service to continue removing deer habitat in this area.
Sitka fisherman and attorney Paul Olson is board president of the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, which includes members in Petersburg and Kuprinoff. As far as public lands, Olson says the Lindenberg Peninsula has been hit the hardest by logging.
They have been logging the Lindenberg Peninsula pretty much continuously for the past 30 years with clear-cut logging, to the point that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has told them, look, this area would really benefit if you delayed any further timber entries for some time.
Olson's group has raised extensive concerns about Tonka's impacts to fish and wildlife habitat and the locals who depend on it, particularly deer hunters. He says the Forest Service is high-grading.
They're taking the best deer habitat out with this project, and they've already taken too much. And so they're really threatening the ability of the deer population to rebound from the severe winters of 2006 and 2007. And again, since this is an export-driven timber sale, they're basically making Petersburg hunters bear the burden of a timber sale that's where the economic benefits are going to be generated somewhere else.
GSAC and other conservation groups have long criticized Forest Service policies that allow half of the spruce and hemlock saw logs and, with permission, all of the cedar to be exported overseas without first being milled in Alaska. Transportation for those logs, whether or not they're exported, has also prompted local objections. Commercial crabbers are worried about the marine habitat in a popular bay where the agency wants to stage log rafts from the sale. That's in order to reduce costs for timber and towing companies to move the logs. Parties that commented on the draft Tonka Environmental Impact Statement have 45 days to appeal the Forest Service decision. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And at just about a half minute past 8 o'clock, that's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.